Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning. Welcome to the Morning Beat. We're so glad you're hanging out with us this morning as we keep our eyes on Washington, D.C. The president of the United States about to be impeached for the second time during his single term in the White House. It's the first time this has ever happened in our nation's history. It's unprecedented. It's a word we were hoping to leave back in 2020, but it's followed us into 2021 in ways we never, ever expected. But we do have a great show coming up for you. We are going to keep an eye on Washington. This is going to be a process that's going to be going on the entire morning as we just 1 week away from the riot that took place last week in Washington, D.C., and 1 week moving forward to the inauguration that is to come.
Oh, yeah.
A lot to cover. We're going to keep you informed, but we're also going to do our best to keep you entertained. And this first story coming up in 15 minutes is a doozy. Kris Jenner doing everything she can to shut down an internet rumor that involves Kanye West and another man.
Oh, this story is so problematic, though. And it really does start with the TikToker who started it. Well, I just feel like it's a big issue that we got to talk about.
It might end with her, too. These young people are just unafraid.
Well, you know, there's a... I'll talk about it when we get into the segment, but I think that outing people is a really, really big problem still.
Absolutely.
And I feel like I thought with this generation it wasn't going to happen, but people are like starving for clout.
Yeah.
And so they're doing things that I think are not cool.
Yeah, we've got some audio for you. We're going to share with that conversation as well. That's really pretty shocking. If you're a fan of Kris Jenner or not, the Kardashian family or not, this is still a very, very juicy story. We can't wait to share it with you. Also, later on in our show, in our next hour, we've got Red, White, and Q with Samuel Garrett Pate of Equality California and Silver State, Nevada. He's calling in to talk about the impeachment, you know, that is going on in Washington, D.C. right now. And what is being done in D.C. to prepare for the inauguration next week. It's going to be a different inauguration for a lot of reasons. Much of it is going to be virtual. Also, can Trump pardon himself? He's trying. He's trying to pardon himself.
I mean,
he's trying to pardon his entire family.
Coming.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But we still don't have clarity on whether that is actually going to happen, if it can legally happen. He's going to give his take in Red, White, and Q in the next hour. So stick around for that. But first, Michaela Gordon, how about some news on the beat for our listeners?
Well, you talked about it a little bit, but the House is set to vote today to impeach President Trump for the second time. The single article of impeachment charges Trump with incitement of insurrection following last week's Capitol breach, with the House Democratic majority and the votes of at least five Republican members who have said they will join the impeachment effort. The measure is certain to pass. That will make Trump the first U.S. president to be impeached twice. Just like before, the article will then move to the Senate. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has so far been silent on its prospects in his chamber, but he has indicated he believes impeaching Trump will make it easier to rid the Republican Party of his influence. The House also voted last night to approve a resolution calling for Trump to be removed from office through the 25th Amendment. But Vice President Mike Pence, whose power is needed for such a move, has made it clear he will not invoke it.
Of course you won't.
Of course. All right, in other news, officials have opened more than 170 subject files and charged over 70 cases in their expansive investigation into the Capitol riot. According to yesterday's stunning Justice Department news conference, the acting U.S. attorney in Washington said the scope of the crimes is mind-blowing and could include charges of sedition and conspiracy, serious crimes that could result in up to 20 years in prison. Other officials described rioters engaging in open-handed combat with police officers and confirmed there were pipe bombs planted outside Republican and Democratic headquarters. New threats of terrorism are also rolling in ahead of Joe Biden's inauguration, including a plot described by a member of Congress in which thousands of armed extremists would troops around the Capitol and prevent Democrats from entering. Meanwhile, YouTube has suspended President Trump's channel, the latest social media company to discipline the president for a post it said had incited violence. Now, we're going to go in depth with our political expert, Samuel Garrett Pate, in the next hour, but that's just a little news for you right now.
Yeah, there's so much more to the story. Yeah. It goes way deeper than we even realize.
Yeah, well, let's get into a little weather. It's going to be a high of 61 in San Francisco, 68 in Phoenix, 50 in Seattle, 48 in Atlanta, and 48 in Baltimore. Now give us a vibe of the day.
This one's for you, Michaela, as you march towards your 33rd birthday tomorrow. I just told your age live on the air.
Bye-bye.
My dear friend, clear your mind of can't.
Oh.
Gotta drop that word, honey.
And I can, and I will. I love it. All right, coming up, the Jeffree Star Kanye West story thickens, and now Kris Jenner is involved. Find out what she has to say coming up in 2 minutes.
Okay, so here's some juicy tea for you. Just a reminder, the other day we did a story, I think in What's Poppin', about this TikTok kind of, I guess, I hate the word celebrity. She has 600,000 followers on TikTok. She is a bit of an influencer, I guess, on that platform. And she had very not even suggestive, she came out and said some things about Kanye West. Take a listen.
Now that Kim's finally doing this, I feel like I can spill the tea that I've been holding on to for months. This whole divorce comes as no surprise. Kanye's been hooking up with a very famous beauty guru. Male beauty guru. A lot of people in the scene have known for a while.
Okay, so this is Ava Louise. She posted this on TikTok claiming that Kanye and Jeffree Star were hooking up.
I want to say this, though. We know Ava Louise because we did a story on her. This is the same girl that licked the toilet in the private jet.
Wait, that's her?
This is that girl.
I never put two and two together.
A lot of people didn't.
Well, I came up with three.
Well, yeah. A lot of people didn't know that. And then somebody called her out. So she's been problematic. I mean, literally since COVID began.
Well, she didn't come right out and say in the video that it was Jeffree Star. However, people started guessing Jeffree Star, and then she only liked those comments, letting people know, hey, you're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's getting dragged for it. People aren't happy. I don't like, and Michaela, you and I agree on this, the idea of outing anybody, if this is true or not, even if it's completely false.
1,000% it's not okay.
Just to out somebody like Kanye. And then Jeffree sort of played along, posted a photo of himself in an outfit saying, ready for Sunday service, and then eventually came back and said, this is ridiculous. But listen to her defend herself.
Do we have the audio, Justin?
Our producer's a little slow today. It's okay. We'll just keep talking.
It's a Wednesday.
We're halfway through the week. But yeah, so you don't mess with the Kardashians. You don't mess with Kris Jenner. But take a listen.
Kris Jenner, the most powerful woman in the world, may be threatening to sue me. But I think we all can agree, at least I'm not Tony Lopez.
Okay, so Tony Lopez is another influencer who's very problematic. However, I wouldn't want to be Ava Louise either. Now, she started, when this story broke, she said Kim Kardashian planned on suing her. But she made the video where she was at the mall shopping for an outfit that she would wear when she met Kim Kardashian. Now, if you go to her Instagram, she auditioned to be a model for Good American, Khloe Kardashian's
jean line. Yeah.
So she's obsessed with the Kardashians. I'm actually surprised she never took it down off of her Instagram. She's obsessed with celebrities, and now she's trying to gain some clout. And Kris Jenner's put the cease and desist letter on her. But I feel disappointed because I feel like this generation was going to be so pleasing.
Some of them are.
And some of them are incredible.
Here's my question, though. They're doing things a different way. Is it always wrong? Now, I'm not okay with outing somebody.
Mm-mm.
But if she's building a platform and creating a career out of this, is this any different than Geraldo Rivera or Sally Jesse Raphael back in the 80s and 90s? Is this just the new generation, the new Mari Povich, the new, you know, Jerry Springer? Is this their way of doing that? Is that possible?
I mean, it's possible, but I think it's problematic. I think that Sally, listen, we saw that story where Jenny Jones lost her entire career because she had that segment where a man came out to another man and said he had a crush on him. And then that man was killed.
Yeah.
Murdered because he was embarrassed. I feel like that's where we have to take notes from, and that's why it's so problematic to out somebody, to embarrass somebody, to publicly admit they have a crush on somebody. People aren't ready. So when you take this to the gram, you know, Kanye West, we've watched him with with the Kardashians over many years. After he lost his mother, it seems like he really went into a bad mental place.
Yeah.
And he's been trying to recover ever since.
Well, he's been very open about his mental health and his bipolar disorder. And it's something that the Kardashians have tried to help him manage, not always successfully. And it sounds like he and Kim could be headed towards divorce. They may be in marriage counseling right now. We're not completely sure. But Kris did, she did have quite the response, though. Kris is she's not one to play.
No, she's not.
So you come for one of her kids,
or it's
even
over.
One of her kids' husbands. She's shutting it down. Yeah,
absolutely. I'll tell you what, though, I don't know what it is with those Kardashians. There was a meme yesterday that said, "Is the Kardashian curse real?" Because it seems like those husbands, after they've been the Kardashian family for a while.
Well, I will challenge this. I will come back with this because I've defended the Kardashians.
Listen, I love the Kardashians
for so many years, and I think here's what it is. I think people are both fascinated by them and intimidated by them because they are a family of strong women. So when men can't handle that, when they can't, because the women by and large have stayed out of controversy the entire time they've been in the spotlight. They've had little controversy here and there, but the biggest controversy was Kim and her sex tape. That was her taking ownership of her sexuality, in my view. And it's the men who have, the Lamar Odoms and the Scott Disicks and, you know, and the Kanye West, who have really spiraled when they've come into that orbit.
But they haven't, like, spiraled. I mean, their mental health has been completely depleted. I I don't know what it is. And I like I said, I love the Kardashians.
But the women seem to thrive. So maybe the men just can't handle it. Strong women. Who knows?
I don't know. Well, listen, what I don't like, and who's not being a strong woman, is this TikToker. And I don't like her. I'm glad that Kris put that cease and desist letter on her.
She's teaching her how to be a woman.
1,000%. All right, well, coming up is 2021, the year of gay ads. We're finally coming out with advertisement. Find out how coming up next.
So we talk about this concept all the time that might not be super new to our listeners in particular, but for people joining us for the first time, this idea of representation and how important it is to see yourself represented in some way, shape, or form in traditional media. Now, the United States is a bit of a mixed bag when it comes to this. We like to think of ourselves as this really the land of the free, home of the brave, and we're very forward-thinking and this, that, and whatever. And when it comes down to it, really not sometimes. So every now and then, ads pop up from around the world that really stand out to us. And we're going to give some shine to a couple of those right now. This first one is coming from a very, very popular global brand. We know and love Doritos. Now, I love myself a cool ranch Dorito, but I can get down with some salsa verde every now and then, or a traditional nacho. Don't get it twisted.
Honestly, I'm traditional nacho all day. But I'll do a cool ranch.
Okay, I'm down to that too. So every time I go down to Mexico too, I have this thing when I go to foreign countries. I like to find their 7-Eleven down in Mexico. It's called OXXO, O-X-X-O. They're all over the place, and I like to get all the snacks. Some of them that are native to the land and some that are American, and see if they taste a little bit different. Doritos there taste a little bit different. They're still delicious. They're not quite as salty as they are here in the United States, or as whatever that thing is that they put in them here in the United States. Preserve this. That's neither here nor there. I'm talking about this because Doritos Mexico has done something really spectacular. They released an ad of a young man who went home for the holidays. The ad is called El Mejor Regalo. I don't know if I said that right. I think I did. I took Spanish in college. It was many years ago. That translates to the best gift in Spanish. It's based on a true story. It's been viewed by over 14 million people so far on YouTube. So this whole commercial starts off. Javier travels home for Christmas, and he calls his father from a gas station to let him know they're halfway to his house. When his father asked who Javier was with, he replied that he's bringing his friend from his university. Goes home, right? So, the commercial cuts to scenes showing the three men spending time together, but Javier's father notices there's something more to his friendship between his son and Manuel, the other one. Do we have audio of it?
Quería decirte que... que te quiero.
Lo que me quieres decir es que me quieres como soy.
Because this is sort of the climax, the heartfelt moment of the entire commercial. Because what's happening throughout this commercial is the dad sees his son and this young man. At one point, they kind of embrace in a truck, and then they're riding on a horse together, and he sees that they have kind of a moment together. And have you ever been there where you're in a relationship, but you're not fully out to everybody yet, but you, like, catch a glance? Or you, like, a little hand, or just your finger touches the pinky finger of the person that you're kind of interested with. Because you're not sure yet if you can let the world know where you are. You want to be safe.
I mean, it still happens now mm-hmm. with Lisa because I, you know, both of our families are more traditional.
Yeah.
So I can't like grope. Not that I would, but like I can't even like kiss Lisa really in front of her mom or really hold her hand. So especially when we're having dinner, like I'll try to grab her knee under the table just to give like a simple,
just let them know you're still there together.
Yep. Love you, adore you.
Well, so this thing ends basically. The father approaches Javier in the kitchen, asks to have a word with him, but instead of outing him, he tells his son, "I love you." That's all he says, sort of leaving the door open. Javier starts to cry, says, "What you want to tell me is that you love me as I am?" Question mark. His father nods his head, says yes, and the two men embrace. And then the words come up. The best gift for these holidays is accepting everyone the way they are. Oh, my gosh.
I love that.
Way to go, Doritos Mexico. But
yeah, that's a big deal. Because, you know, we've had this conversation a lot. A lot of companies will get very involved with the gay community around gay pride.
In June, for
and
1 month.
It's a month, and they do their thing, and then all of a sudden, we don't hear from them. It's so special. And we've seen Target. I feel like Target's a great...
Target's really fantastic.
I think they're a great representation of like what we want companies to be. So for Doritos, and we're talking Doritos that plays during the Super Bowl.
Everything.
We're talking Doritos that...
Macho. You have Doritos with a Mountain Dew or a Pepsi or a beer.
Oh, I had a dream last night I had a Mountain Dew. That's so weird you
said
that. Delicious.
One Mountain Dew a year is good for you.
Oh, God, I love
that. So then, that's one end of the spectrum. It's a sweet, soulful, like heartfelt approach, right? Then Cadbury, our favorite British cream-filled egg, right? They go to the other end of the spectrum, and they share this idea that there's more than one way to get that cream flowing, they say.
Oh, okay.
It's a real-life couple, and they kiss. These guys are daddies, too. They got a little scruff, little
we
beard on them.
We love a zaddy.
They kiss, and as they pull apart, the white cream from the Cadbury egg just oozes everywhere.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Unbelievable.
Hot.
Super hot. Do we have audio of that, Justin? Play it.
It's the Cream Egg Golden Goobly. Time to celebrate 5 delicious decades. Knickers. Let loose. Bakers. Ring it. Experts, you have got this.
So they're kind of fun, kind of cheeky
love it.
In a British way. You know how they do. But also, the real men are the real life couple, Callum Sterling and Dale Moran. It's a hot commercial. If you haven't seen it yet, go over to YouTube, check it. It's fun and cheeky, but it's also sexual.
I love it.
Super
we love
fun.
Sexual.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well done, Cadbury and Doritos.
Yeah. Kudos to these companies that are really pulling through for the gay community and not doing just gay pride to make some money off of us.
Hey, that part. I love it.
Hey, now coming up, we love Drag Race, but the UK is a little chaotic this season. Find out why a host walked off and why one contestant swore. Coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Before we get to What's Poppin', hosted by my dear friend Michaela Gordon, my co-host, my partner in crime, brought to you by California Psychics. I do want to remind you that our show is also a podcast. If you can't listen to us in real time, maybe you miss a segment here or there, don't you worry. You can catch up at your leisure by downloading the radio.com app, listening to the Morning Beat anywhere you take your mobile device. Now, Michaela, what do you have for us and what's popping?
Okay, so we love RuPaul's Drag Race, right? And we pay attention and we follow and we've been excited that they've moved on to different countries. But RuPaul's Drag Race UK filming is a little chaotic. I feel like the UK queens are wild and they have the freedom to be wild. But during filming for one episode, RuPaul announced which of the contestants were at risk of going home. One of them did not take it well. They completely lost it. They swore at RuPaul and said they weren't doing a lip sync at all. Then they stormed off. No one could believe what they were seeing. It was so disrespectful. And then they added that the contestant whose identity is not known was also heard telling the experts to F off and held on to the grudge by refusing to take part in a reunion when filming was over.
Oh.
That wasn't it. It just got crazy. And I mean, look, I people are obsessed with this show, right? And people have worked for a long time to be on Drag Race. And they feel very burned when they don't get the opportunity to showcase all the things that they want to showcase. And I feel like the UK is known to pop off. And so I'm not
surprised.
Is that
what they're known for?
They're known to speak their minds, for sure. Their sense of humor is a little bit more honest, a little bit more harsh, which I appreciate. Listen, my favorite show was Absolutely Fabulous.
Oh, God, AFAB.
AFAB was everything to
so
me.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And I, even when I was on Idol, I had a bigger fan base in the UK than I did here because I had such a sharp personality.
Yeah.
And they appreciated it. So I love the UK
you
for
would
that.
Do well there. You should hop on a plane.
I'm calling Michelle Visage. She needs to fix this for me.
What is she going to do?
Okay, no, just fix it. Just fix something.
Did they ever go off here in the United States? I've only been watching for a couple of seasons.
They have, but not to that extent,
no.
For sure. I mean, there have been queens who have like walked off stage or said something, you know, under their breath. Yeah.
Oh, the only person I haven't really liked so far was Britta Filter last year. I thought Britta was such a diva and thought that she was like the ish from New York City and deserved. What's that?
I'm sorry, I got a tickle in my throat. Candy Muse.
Why? Who's that?
Candy Muse?
Yeah.
Who's on this season of Drag Race?
This season?
Yeah.
Which one?
The one that...
From
New York, the one
with
from
the pink?
House of Aja.
Oh, she
the
pink? Thinks she's it, honey.
Yeah.
With the pink hair and the pink outfit in the first?
Yeah.
Yes, also reminds me of Britta Filter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what you said the last time. But she comes from the House of Aja, and Aja has been problematic. She's not even claiming House of Aja right now. Didn't she, when we first met her this season, she was like, I came from the House of Aja, but I'm my own person now.
Mm-hmm.
But Aja's...
There's a certain type of queen in New York, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, well, listen, this was... Oh, go ahead, Justin.
Well, no, I was just going to bring up one more thing. She wasn't eliminated yet. She was just having to do the lip sync.
Yeah, nobody's mad about it.
Nobody's been eliminated. Sorry, if you haven't watched yet.
If you haven't watched it.
They've had to wear 42 different, like, do little costume changes and all kinds of different looks, and nobody's been sent home yet. I'm like, that's a lot of wasted looks.
No, but the queen that went off on Rue at Drag Race UK, it was because she had to lip sync.
Oh,
she wasn't
before
even eliminated yet.
That's not the time.
Not the time.
You try to get through it. Then if you get eliminated, then you go off. And
yeah.
Crazy.
Your moment of glory.
All right, you guys. Well, this is what's popping. This got intense.
Wow.
This was popping was brought to you by California Psychics. I love California Psychics. They have over 400 psychic advisors available to you 24/7 as we're going into the new year. We have a lot of questions. Maybe you have questions about finances or relationships, and I completely think California Psychics could be for you. Go to californiapsychics.com and download the app. Now, coming up, Sam and Garrett patrons us to discuss the impeachment the Dems are trying for, and if it's actually happening. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
We are debating this historic measure at an actual crime scene, and we wouldn't be here if it weren't for the President of the United States.
Just take that in for just a moment. Debating this measure, the second impeachment of a sitting president, it's never happened before in our nation's history, from the crime scene, from the actual crime scene where 1 week ago today, American-grown terrorists stormed the Capitol building.
Yes.
This is where we are in 2021. We're obviously, that is Representative McGovern from New York about 30 minutes ago. Jim McGovern, he's a Democrat from Massachusetts, speaking about 30 minutes ago. And we're going to obviously keep you up to date on everything going on as the impeachment process starts to unfold in Washington, D.C. We do have a show planned for you, a great show planned. But if anything happens at all, we will absolutely cut away to what's going on
in
D.C.
You know, it's so bad that AOC just took to the gram and is talking about how she felt like she experienced a life or death situation when the mob of American terrorists came in.
Well, you know what also thought came to my mind? And this might be controversial, but it's really frustrating to me that we've had so many mass shootings in our nation over the years, you know, going back to Columbine and before. But Columbine was really the first one that hit home for me. I was a teenager at the time. And then Sandy Hook a few years ago and to see children, you know, being attacked. You know, Parkland, obviously, down in Florida, children being attacked. And having this experience of hiding in offices and closets and under desks and things like that while there's an active shooter in the building.
Yeah.
And these congressmen and men and women experience that now. So maybe now understanding what that feels like and the fear of that inability to protect yourself in a situation where things turn on a dime, maybe coming out of this, one of the things that could come out of this that's positive is maybe bipartisan agreement on some sort of gun reform to protect our children and our citizens. It's just it's a lot going on. It's a lot to process.
Absolutely.
And we're going to do our best to keep you informed, as I said. Michaela Gordon, what else is going on in news on the beat?
Well, we touched upon it a little bit, and we're going to go in depth with Samuel Garrett-Pate this hour, but the House is set to vote today to impeach President Trump for the second time. A single article of impeachment charges Trump with incitement of insurrection following last week's Capitol breach. With the House's Democratic majority and the votes of at least five Republican members who have said they will join the impeachment effort, the measure is certain to pass. That will make Trump the first U.S. president to be impeached twice. Just like before, the article will then move to the Senate. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has so far been silent on its prospects in his chamber, but he has indicated he believes impeaching Trump will make it easier to rid the Republican Party of his influence. The House also voted last night to approve a resolution calling for Trump to be removed from office through the 25th Amendment. But Vice President Mike Pence, whose power is needed for such a move, has made it clear he will not invoke it. And now in other news, and we cannot forget this, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have announced it will require a negative COVID-19 test from all passengers entering the United States starting January 26th. The measure is intended to curb rising coronavirus numbers, which seem to be setting new records every day. The U.S. yesterday reported more than 4,300 coronavirus deaths, a new daily high. Things are so bad in Ontario, Canada. The province is under a stay-at-home order, and officials have warned of a total collapse of healthcare systems. Japan has increased its state of emergency to seven more regions, and Ireland now has the world's highest COVID-19 rate. How did it happen? Irish health officials say the seasonality of the virus plus holiday gatherings have led to inconceivable numbers of cases and deaths.
A bright spot of information here in California last night, Governor Newsom went on and did a live saying that they're actually easing some of the restrictions in parts of Northern California, just a little bit in Sacramento, I believe, in our state's capital. And that they were going to have more information today. The numbers have leveled off a little bit, even throughout parts of Southern California. We're definitely not out of the woods, but it seems to not be spiking like we were a week ago. So if we can maintain this.
This is a genuine question. Maybe Justin, you'll know too. How are the numbers in Florida? Are they horrible? Are they as bad as LA?
I don't know. My mom's there right now, and it's interesting because we had this conversation last night. Where I come from, people retire in Florida. Or they go to Florida for the winter from Ohio, right? So my mom just got a home in Florida. Her friends down there, all of her friends live in the same neighborhood
My friends are in Miami, and they're living it up.
Oh, yeah. Everything's wide open.
Yeah. So how are the numbers there in comparison to LA? Because I think it's interesting.
Well, it is an interesting thing because some places that are completely locked down aren't really showing that the numbers are really any better, sometimes worse. Los Angeles has had some of the strictest lockdowns in the nation.
And our numbers are the worst.
No. Well, here's the thing with the numbers in Florida. So 1.5 million cases, 23,000 deaths. That's what's been projected and reported. Mm-hmm. However, there has been some controversy with Governor DeSantis, the governor of Florida, maybe fudging those numbers a little bit, making them a little bit more rosier than they actually are.
Got it.
So what the true numbers are, you could say 1.5 million. It could be higher. We don't know.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. That's interesting to me.
And that is the problem. There's been no consistent sort of messaging on this.
I feel like it's tough because it has been on a strict lockdown since March. I mean, we really have. I think we were open for a little minute, but Florida's been thriving and
going. We can't even do outdoor dining, haven't for so long. And then you go to a place like Ohio where my family's from, everything's normal.
And, you know, the problem with that is, controversial or not, it's very sad because so many businesses have had to close here in LA.
Then you ask yourself, is it worth it? If we're going to get hit, whether we stay open or we shut down, why wouldn't we stay open? That's the question. I understand it.
Question.
I get it.
It's a big one. All right, let's get into a little weather. It's going to be a high of 50 in LA, 37 in Vegas, 46 in Palm Springs, and 43 in Houston. Also, a reminder, we are speaking to the mayor of Palm Springs today to discuss how they're doing in their lockdown, how they're feeling. You know, we love Palm Springs.
She also has thoughts on what's going on down in Puerto Vallarta and other places as gaze over COVID becomes viral. And then also, we're going to be, Christy Halstead. Yeah, she's a new mayor there. And she's also talking about festival season right around the corner in the Coachella Valley.
So
is it going to happen? What's that going to look like?
No dinosaur this year. All right, give us a vibe.
My dear friend, clear your mind of can't. Get that word out of your vocabulary.
I love that.
Just do it.
You can. All right, you guys, coming up, Sam Garrett-Pate joins us to discuss the impeachment the Dems are trying for, and if it's actually happening, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
I've served with Ronald Reagan, with George H.W. Bush, and George Bush. I had respect for all of those presidents. They cared about our country. They honored our Constitution, and they executed the duties of their office consistent with the Constitution and laws of our country. That is not true of this president.
That is Steny Hoyer. He's House Majority Leader speaking on President Donald J. Trump facing a second impeachment. First time this has ever happened in the history of our nation. It's time for Red, White, and Q with our political expert and dear friend, Samuel Garrett Pate. Thanks for being here. I mean, this guy's been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
You know, he knows what he's talking about. He's worked with presidents from both sides of the aisle, both political spectrums. Donald Trump's just a different beast altogether. Why is this so different?
Well, I mean, for one thing, if you just look at the raw numbers, today, Donald Trump will become the first president in the history of the nation to ever be impeached by the House twice. That comes just 13 months after the last time Donald Trump was impeached. So we've seen two impeachments in 13 months after seeing the same number in over 100 years.
Hmm. Wow.
It's crazy. I feel like I've never seen anything like this. I feel like the entire world is on edge right now, but particularly the U.S., there's just so much tension leading up to January 20th. It was said that if he is in fact impeached or booted out before Inauguration Day, that there's going to be some major armed riots. Is that something that we need to be afraid of?
Well, I think, you know, what we have now that we didn't have a week ago is a national security apparatus, right, that is on high alert. There is no doubt in the minds of people running the Secret Service, the U.S. Capitol Police, the, you know, Joint Chiefs who put out their own statement about insurrectionists just yesterday. There is no doubt among those folks at the FBI, et cetera, that the nation ought to be on high alert, right? And that there is a threat from insurrectionists incited by the president across the country who seek to overturn the results of the election, seek to overturn the will of the people, seek to overthrow our democracy. And so, yeah, we all need to be on high alert. You know, I think it is rich to hear Republicans who just a week ago, after the Capitol was stormed and occupied, voted still to overturn the results of the election, now stand on the House floor and urge healing and say that this impeachment would only further inflame the country, but somehow their vote just 1 week ago today to overturn the results of the election was appropriate.
Let's listen to somebody who's very problematic from my home state of Ohio, Jim Jordan, talking about this idea of cancel culture.
This is scary where this goes, because this is more than about impeaching the president of the United States. This is about canceling the president and canceling all the people you guys disagree with.
Okay, so it's so much more than just disagreeing with somebody. And that's what I think is getting murky right now. It's getting muddied up. People are getting a little bit confused. The average American doesn't really actually know what's going on and why it's going on. They just think it's us versus them. How do we get out of that mindset?
Well, I think we start to get out of it by seeing Republicans break with the president. The third ranking Republican in the House, Liz Cheney, daughter of former Vice President of the United States and former House Whip, right? Her father didn't just serve as Vice President. He also served in the House. She is supporting impeachment. Now, there is no love lost between myself and Liz Cheney. She has made comments about her sister, who is openly gay, over the years that are really, really hateful toward the LGBTQ community. I don't have any love or respect for Liz Cheney generally, but she is supporting impeachment. From deep red Wyoming, she is supporting impeachment. Adam Kinzinger from Illinois, Fred Upton from Michigan, Jamie Herrera Butler from Washington, John Katko from New York, all House Republicans from swing districts and deep red districts, all supporting impeachment. I think you'll see, you know, folks are estimating up to 20. I've heard more from people, I've heard less. But this is very, very different from the impeachment we saw 13 months ago, in that it enjoys bipartisan support. And there is a real sense, even among people who are not going to vote for impeachment. There's a real sense that the president is a danger to the country.
Do you think
we heard from freshman Republican Nancy Mace, who stood on the floor and assigned blame to the president and his allies for the violent insurrection, still said she doesn't believe in impeachment, but at least I respect her words more than I do the people who now urge healing, but just a week ago voted to overturn the results of the election.
Well, Senator Garrett Pate, we are talking with our political expert, Senator Garrett Pate. I know that people want impeachment, but Donald Trump wants to pardon himself. He's been banned from all social media, and now his YouTube is suspended, but it's alleged that he wants to pardon himself. Can he do that? Is there any chance that he can?
Well, I'll preface by saying I'm not a legal expert. I'm not a lawyer. I've heard people on different sides of this argue that he can impeach himself. He can't. Certainly heard more saying that the president can't impeach himself. None of that matters to impeachment, though. The president can't pardon himself from an impeachment process. And if the Senate holds a trial and convicts him, removes him from office, they will then have an opportunity to bar him from serving in any federal office for life. That is a process that he cannot get in the way of. And 13 months ago, we heard a lot of people talk about how, oh, impeachment is not a legal process, it's a political process. That's wrong. Impeachment is a process prescribed in the United States Constitution. It doesn't get any more of a legal process than that. And I think that's what we're going to see, right? We're going to see bipartisan support for these impeachment articles, and I think we'll see bipartisan support for his removal in the Senate. Senate Majority Leader is already sending signals.
I want to ask you about that. Do you think that Mitch, because from my calculation, it seems to be that Mitch McConnell's never really been a huge fan of Donald Trump. However, it's one of those situations where you have one shot. You take one shot at the guy, and if you miss, you're doomed. If you don't miss, you succeed. Does it feel like this is his one shot? Do you think Mitch McConnell will support impeaching the president?
I don't know, but I'll say this. The fact that his private support for the impeachment process that he has apparently expressed to aides and people around him, the fact that that made it into the press, I can't imagine was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine a world in which the majority leader, who is, you know, historically very good at keeping things close to the vest, very good at making sure his plans and strategy don't leave the four walls of his office. The fact that that made it into the press yesterday was almost certainly not an accident.
You think he's letting people know that if they need to?
He's sending a signal to House Republicans and to his colleagues that people, and I know that he, you know, it has been reported by numerous outlets that he has already told members of his Republican caucus to vote their conscience. At the end of the trial, I think he is sending a signal to people that this time is different.
Well,
I think you're going to see that in the House vote. I don't know that you'll see 17 Republicans vote for to remove the president from office. But certainly if the majority leader gets there, it's over.
Yeah. Well, Senator Garrett Pate, we want to continue this conversation as Walmart and world's largest retailer and donor of millions to GOP are no longer funding election objectors. What does that look like? Coming up next, more with Senator Garrett Pate.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. It's time for another round of Red, White, and Q with our political expert, Samuel Garrett Pate. Now, Sam, I know we're going to talk about fundraising and how it's there. Republicans are basically being cut off at the knees right now in that regard. But I do want to just really quickly, I'm seeing on our monitor here that there's a procedural vote taking place on Capitol Hill as we speak regarding the impeachment process. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the procedural vote before they actually vote on impeachment. They're voting what's called the motion to order the previous question, which is essentially a motion that Democrats make to cut off debate. They're cutting off debate on the rule, right? The rules that sort of govern how they consider impeachment later today. So it really is sort of like a procedural vote before a procedural vote. The bottom line, though, is they will get to the vote on the impeachment article, the single impeachment article, later today. Speaker Pelosi has already named impeachment managers to try the president in the Senate. They had previously signaled that they may wait and delay transmitting those articles or the single article to the Senate, article of impeachment. It now looks from House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer like they will not wait. They will transmit those immediately, and then we'll see if Senator McConnell moves to take them up in a trial immediately.
Ugh. Well, Sammy Grapeet, I want to talk to you about something in regards to money. Honey, it's a big deal. Walmart and world's largest retailer and donor of millions to GOP is no longer funding election objectors. A lot of people are following suit. We've also seen how companies like Amazon and Google, how much power they have by completely shutting down Donald Trump and his entire social media. Is this something that we can expect, and how does this affect us moving forward?
Well, I think there's real pressure on corporate America to distance themselves from members of Congress who essentially participated in an attempt to overturn American democracy last week. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. After a violent mob incited by the president attacked the Capitol, you had a majority of House Republicans and seven Senate Republicans vote still, after they had been attacked, still vote to overturn the results of the election. And I think corporate America is putting the squeeze on them. You've seen a number of major corporations come out and say that they're suspending all political donations while they do a review. But you've seen quite a number of others who, as you said about Walmart, who are specifically targeting the members who voted to overturn the results of the election. Now, importantly, on the Senate side, that includes Rick Scott, senator from Florida, former governor, who is the chair of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, the campaign arm of Senate Republicans. If he can't raise money from a whole bunch of major corporations that are longtime funders, that could spell real trouble for Senate Republicans going into a year where they want to make a play at regaining the Senate. So it'll be really interesting to see how this impacts House Republicans, Senate Republicans. But I can sure tell you I'd much rather be a House Democrat or a Senate Democrat right now in terms of fundraising, because Republicans have really shot themselves in the foot in that regard with their support.
It's so fascinating to me that, like, because there are some districts in this country where it doesn't matter if you have a dollar to your name or not, you're still going to win if you're a Democrat or a Republican. But for the majority of the swing districts that are still in play, this is a really big deal. And for our listeners who maybe don't quite understand, because you see so much more support for overturning this election coming from the Congress than from Senate. Now, the members of Congress serve 2 years and they're up for re-election every single 2 years. Senators are there for 6 years and they tend to be a little bit older. Many of these senators have been there through many presidencies and they tend to be a little bit more, I guess, conservative, at least recently, as regard to not taking such big swings. Why is it important that we have both branches separate and one elected every 2 years, one elected every 6 years? And how is that possibly hurting our democracy as well? Could that be at play?
I don't know that I don't know that I'd subscribe to any view that it's hurting our democracy. I think that certainly how we select senators has evolved over the years from the original process of them being appointed by state legislatures to being popularly elected every 6 years. I think, the framers laid it out as two separate branches within the legislative branch in Article 1 of the Constitution for a reason. And I think it has largely served us well over the centuries since. And I think we've made changes since, right? The filibuster has been eliminated, was first eliminated for federal judicial appointees, then eliminated for Supreme Court appointees. Now we will, as Democrats regain the majority in the Senate, we'll see if they move to eliminate the filibuster altogether. So there are changes that happen over time, right? Reforms that are made to make Congress function better. Sometimes reforms that are made that end up having the effect of making Congress function worse, like the filibuster itself, which was a reform in its time. So anyway, all to say that I think Congress is actually demonstrating over the last week how it functions well. And that's that the Congress was attacked. They resumed the count of the Electoral College vote the same day. They completed that constitutional duty. Now they are moving to another constitutional duty, which is to impeach and remove the president for high crimes and misdemeanors. It will certainly pass the House today. That single impeachment article. We'll see how it fares in the Senate.
Wow. Well, Senator Pate, we appreciate you so much. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week, if not sooner. Who knows what this week will bring, honestly.
Who knows, right, indeed.
Coming up, one of the stars of Saved by the Bell has been hospitalized, and they think it may be cancer. Find out who this is coming up in What's Poppin'. This whole body hurts.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. It's time for What's Poppin', brought to you by California Psychics. Before we get ahead of ourselves, though, we want to remind you our show is also a podcast, and our podcast is poppin'. So if you can't listen to our show in real time, take a deep breath, download the radio.com app, listen to the Morning Beat anywhere you take your mobile device. Now, Michaela Gordon, this is some scary, sad news coming out of What's Poppin' in this segment. What do you have for us?
Yeah, this is tough stuff. So we love Saved by the Bell, and you really actually love the reboot of Saved by the Bell,
new one. It's really good.
But unfortunately, they did not invite Screech to join them on the reboot. You know, Dustin Diamond, we've watched. He's been a little problematic. It seems like he's had some issues the past couple of years. But unfortunately, the biggest issue that he has now is he's been rushed to the hospital due to body pain. His whole body was in a huge amount of pain. So they've taken him to the hospital and they are doing testing. They are saying that it could be cancer, but there's no test to reveal that that's what it is. But that's really sad. I feel really bad about that.
Yeah, he was rushed to the hospital in Florida. His mother died of breast cancer. So cancer runs in his family.
Yeah.
And I think that's where they're kind of concerned.
Yeah. I mean, also, full body pain is really tough. Like, it's widespread pain and discomfort. You could literally be anything, it's the potential diagnosis.
He's only 44 years old. That's wild. Because Saved by the Bell went off the air in 2000, the final incarnation of it did. And so what would that, he's 44 now, he would have been about 24, 23 years old. Think of having all of that success end by the time you're 23.
Yeah.
That's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, it is. Well, he went on to be in MTV's Celebrity Boxing, VH1's Celebrity Fit Club, CBS's Celebrity Big Brother, and also Hulk Hogan's Celebrity Championship Wrestling. It seemed like some of that he was just doing for the coin.
Well, he also did a porn, too.
Oh, my God, he did.
He did
That's
a porn
right.
called Screeched, Saved by the Smell, back in 2006. So,
Saved by the Smell?
Yeah,
why
sounds
was
like
that?
He's made some desperate choices over the years.
Yeah, he has.
Like.
Well, listen, sometimes that's what you got to do after you've had money for, and steady work, and then you have it, you do what you do. But when it comes to his health, we do hope that he recovers from whatever it is very quickly and safely. Yeah. It's got to be tough, too, during a pandemic, you know, going to the hospital. That's scary enough.
Of course.
All right, well, this What's Poppin' is brought to you by California Psychics. California Psychics, I love so much. Over 400 psychic advisors available to you 24/7. If you need somebody to talk to, we've been alone, some of us, for almost a year now. Go ahead and give them a call. And if it's not the best reading you've ever had, it's free. Now, coming up in our next hour, a bridesmaid's contract is wild. Would you put these same stipulations on any of your groomsmen or bridesmaids? Find out coming up next.
There it is, Michaela. You heard it here first. We're halfway through our work week. This is the midpoint. It feels like this week has already lasted 92 days. How has 2021 become this already? That's what I want to know.
I have no idea.
That's what I want to know.
I have no idea.
Right now, we're seeing a procedural vote take place in Washington, D.C. Democrats, Republicans, completely split so far. Nobody has broken from either party on this impeachment proceeding for the second impeachment, the unprecedented second impeachment of President Donald J. Trump. We will, of course, keep you informed. We've got a lot coming up on our show yet these final 2 hours. Coming up this hour, we're talking about this story. We've been teasing it for a couple of days now. There was this bridesmaid contract that caught a lot of attention on social media.
Mm-hmm.
36-point contract. Things you can and cannot do in the 14 months leading up to this wedding.
Yeah.
14 months.
Yeah.
You can't ask me or tell me to do anything for 14 minutes, let alone 14 months. Are you kidding me? We've got some of the wildest points from this contract that we're going to share with you in just a moment. So stick around for that conversation. We're going to lighten things up just a little bit. Of course, if anything breaks live from Washington, D.C., we will keep you up to date.
And it could at any point.
It absolutely could at any point. Michaela Gordon, what else is going on in news? I hear there's some new guidelines coming down from the CDC regarding travel. What do you have for us?
There are. So the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has announced it will require a negative COVID-19 test from all air passengers entering the United States starting January 26. The measure is intended to curb rising coronavirus numbers, which seem to be setting new records every day. The U.S. yesterday recorded more than 4,300 coronavirus deaths, a new daily high. Things are so bad in Ontario, Canada. What is what? Okay.
It's called Ontario.
Yeah, I literally tried to say it right three times.
Ontario.
And then said California.
Well, that's all. There's also an Ontario, California.
I know. Ontario, Canada. The province is under a stay-at-home order, and officials have warned of a total collapse of healthcare systems. Japan has increased its state of emergency to 7 more regions, and Ireland now has the world's highest COVID-19 rate. How did it happen? Irish health officials say the seasonality of the virus plus holiday gatherings have led to inconceivable numbers of cases and deaths. Now, in other news, the Supreme Court has granted the Trump administration's request to reinstate longstanding restrictions for patients seeking a drug used for abortions early in pregnancy. This was the first abortion-related case to come before new Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett, and it all but confirms abortion rights activists' fears that she will be a deciding conservative factor in such cases. The FDA restrictions require an in-person visit with a medical professional to pick up the medication, a measure federal courts previously blocked, citing pandemic concerns. Courts have been fighting over the medication abortion rule since last summer.
Mm.
Why is this a fight?
Why? Why?
Why is my body a fight that men get to judge
over? A
bunch
of old white guys get to decide.
It's just so annoying to me.
Well, we see what happens when women show up and women use their voices. We saw it happen in Georgia with Stacey Abrams and so many other strong women. Change things, women
need
to get involved.
Yeah, but that's why it's tough with Amy Coney Barrett, because she has an opportunity to really make something great happen for women. And, you know, she's one of the ones that has more of a conservative belief.
Well, that's the whole Catholicism of it all. Yeah. You and I were both raised in Catholic school.
Speaking of, I lit a novena candle last night.
How'd that go?
It's going well. My house is still intact. And then the candle's still burning. So
you can buy those at the grocery store. I love it.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get into weather. It's going to be a high of 66 in Miami, 39 in Kansas City, 48 in Houston, 41 in Phoenix, and 34 in Buffalo. Now give us a vibe of the day.
Here's your last vibe of the year before you turn 33 tomorrow, Michaela Gordon.
I'm so excited for my surprise party you're throwing.
Yeah, sure, totally. Justin, you all over that?
Yeah, of course. Why, yeah. why
super,
wouldn't be?
Super easy during a pandemic.
I mean, so excited. Thank
all
you guys.
The guests we have lined up. And
I'm waiting for the RSVP still.
That's right. Carrie Underwood, she's good to go, right?
Yeah,
she's confirmed.
I think so.
Great. At this point, I'll take any celebrity, including her.
Hey,
so
Michaela,
get to work.
Here, one day only, you pick any restaurant in all of Los Angeles, and I will take you there, and you can order anything you want tomorrow. How about that? One day only.
But I can't go to a restaurant.
Oh, they're all closed. Oh, no.
Take out, Michaela. Next year.
I don't want to take out. I want to go somewhere.
Here's your vibe of the day. My dear friend, clear your mind of can't. You can do anything in your 33rd year.
I know.
It's your Jesus year.
It's my Jesus year.
It's a big
year.
One.
It is a big one. I'm very excited. All right, guys. Well, coming up, another big day for people is a wedding. So what if your bridesmaid told you you needed to lose some LBs before you got to stand next to her, honey? We've got all these details with this horrid contract coming up next.
Okay, so Michaela, as you know, I've been engaged now for what, 2 weeks? Christmas Day, my partner and I got engaged.
We love this for you.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I don't want a traditional wedding like the ones I grew up going to. I don't want to go to the, you know, the KFC hall or the whatever, or American Legion, or like where I come from, that's where the wedding receptions are always held.
Uh-huh.
They're the only places that have sort of like banquet halls.
Yeah, right.
It's usually at the local Catholic church, and then you head to like a hall, right? And you have a fried chicken dinner and some green beans and mashed potatoes. That's not the vibe I'm going
for. That sounds
good.
I feel like I'm so hungry today. First the Doritos and now mashed potatoes. I'm like, I'm starving.
Wow. Well, maybe I will have mashed potatoes at my wedding just for you. We want to do a destination wedding.
Yeah.
But I know that also requires some money. People have to plan it. But we want to give people a vacation. We want them to have a reason to be there.
See, those are so fun. I love those. I feel like if you can go do a big vacation with the people that you love and experience love, that's great. Me and Lisa, I don't know what me and Lisa are going to do. Honestly, at this point in COVID, I said, take me through the drive-thru in Vegas, let me put a really fabulous...
Well, you're both from Vegas. That makes sense.
Yeah, let me put a great dress on and call it a freaking day.
If you do that, I will never forgive you.
Why?
I want to go to your wedding. I want it to be fun.
I know.
We can do it. We can do a multi-tiered wedding.
I thought you were going to say a joint wedding, and I was like, okay.
No. I know you've been pushing for that. It's not happening ever. But what happens oftentimes when the... Because people have told me that sometimes the year leading up to the wedding, the time as a fiancé can actually be more difficult than the first year of marriage.
Yeah.
Because you're planning a wedding, and that's how the term bridezilla was sort of created. Now, I'm sure there have been plenty of groomzillas too, especially now that gay marriage is legal for the last 5 or 6 years. I will not be one of them. But here is one that is going viral. This woman had a contract written up for her bridesmaids. Mind you, her wedding is 14 months away. That's over a year, people.
Uh-huh.
Or Michaela, in case you didn't know how many months there were in a year. There are 36 points on this contract that her bridesmaids must abide by in order to be in her wedding. Want to hear this?
Yeah, they're nuts.
Okay, so one of them, they're not allowed to wear any extra accessories, items of jewelry the day of the wedding, except maybe their engagement ring, and they have to use makeup and hair approved by her.
Yeah.
And they're not allowed to gain more than 6 pounds in 14 months.
Now, if you could see my face, it was not, it's not shocked, and it's also not the Botox. I'm literally not moving my face because I watch Bridezillas obsessively. Uh-huh. I've watched it for so many years. I actually made Lisa buy it for me on YouTube because they stopped playing it on television. And these brides are insane. This is not anything new. They literally make them do skin routines, hair coloring. You have to be... One of the things that this bride actually does say is you have to have black or dark brown hair only. Highlights may be accepted with prior approval.
Prior approval.
This is serious. But I feel like this is why. Women never feel like the star or famous or cool girl.
Ew.
This is their one chance, and they just go psycho with it.
But it doesn't make sense to me that your one chance, your only opportunity is to put your other friends down in order for you to be the star. That doesn't make sense.
I don't think it's them wanting to put their friends down. I think it's them wanting to be in charge and have some sort of power and be like a diva.
Well, how about these? It's your happiest day of your life. You're marrying the man of your dreams or the woman of your dreams. And this is also on the list. I will not make any advances towards males in the wedding party. Furthermore, I will not date.
Boring.
I will not date anyone in the wedding party that I wasn't dating before I signed this contract.
Oh,
so
God.
You're telling me in the 14 months leading up to this wedding, maybe you've met one of these groomsmen. You can't go on a date with them because of the bride? That's insane.
Look,
to me.
It's crazy. They also say, I will not intentionally fall pregnant before the wedding. Pregnancy under 5 months will not be excused from attending wedding events.
That's insane.
It's insane. This contract is wild.
They have to hold their uterus in check for 5 months?
Yeah, they do.
Or for 14 months, really, for the entire length of the... That's crazy to me.
That's crazy. Well, listen, I'm telling you, that's why I don't want bridesmaids. When Lisa and I get married, I feel like I've really just decided that I don't want any bridesmaids or bridesmen because it's a slippery slope. I feel like some people automatically think they should be bridesmaids because they're blood or they're your sister or they're this or that. And then you really want your other best friends to do it. And then it's a whole thing. And I don't want one of those weddings where I have like 8 bridesmen or women up there with me.
Yeah.
So I'm just not doing it at all. I'm just cutting it out.
How about this one? I will provide the bride with my normal 7-day schedule within 5 days of signing this contract. You're telling me that this bride expects to have the schedules of numerous bridesmaids for 14 months. Detailed 7-day schedule.
She's
Honey,
wild.
I don't know what I'm doing later this afternoon. I show up to work and beyond that,
I'm
going to
give you the top 3 that I think are ridiculous.
Okay, go for it.
No colored contact lenses allowed. No black drawn on eyebrows or thick drawn on. Matter of fact, revert back to makeup law above. And no glossy colored lipstick allowed or colorful nails the day of the wedding.
What?
I would literally tell her, I don't even want to be in her stupid wedding at this point. I think that's the answer.
Well, here's the final one, the nail in the coffin for me. I will not grow sensitive and angry with the bride because I understand that she has a bossy attitude. Huh?
Oh,
The bridesmaid is admitting that she has a bossy attitude, that she's going to push these bridesmaids around and they're just supposed to sign that contract?
She's terrible.
That's not okay
with
me.
That's so annoying. She's just bitchy. All right, you guys, well, coming up, another thing that has sort of a bad taste in people's mouths. I took a poll yesterday and you should see. It's wild. Are Crocs bad for your social life and for your health? We're discussing why coming up next.
I almost can't believe I'm saying this, but this is so 2021, and if it keeps us from talking about the impeachment on Capitol Hill right now, I'm all for it. So yesterday we had a conversation about Crocs. Remember Crocs?
Oh my God. I got so many DMs. Well, I had so many DMs because I put a poll out.
Well, they had a banner year in 2020. Their sales skyrocketed as so many businesses around the world are just trying to survive. Crocs are somehow thriving. I think it's because people are just at home right now in their sweatpants. But first, before I tell you this update on Crocs, I want to know what social media is saying. So how are people responding to you? Because I feel like this is a very polarizing thing. You either love them or you hate them.
It was wild. Okay, so I got a lot of DMs, but the poll said Crocs, disgust or obsessed?
Got it.
72% said disgust.
Okay.
28% said obsessed.
And I bet if you put a third option, you're like, meh, I'm in 50-50.
I'm willing to try.
It would have gotten no answers.
Yeah, 1,000%. No, it was so hardcore. Okay, so one person, Robin Castro, said, I have them for work. I also have a leopard pair with the fur, LOL. And
I feel like you would wear those.
I would. Okay, if I had to wear Crocs, I would wear those.
Also, I love how you just gave Robin's last name out on the air. Like, you're just putting her on full blast.
Yeah, at Robin Castro. Follow her on IG. Now, my sister-in-law said, this family will never wear them. I don't care how comfy they are.
Wait till your little niece Natalia wears a pair. Bring her a pair. She'll lose her
God.
Mind.
My sister would kill me. Okay, now one final answer was I love them, I hated them, and I finally tried them. Now I have 3 pairs, and so does my daughter.
See, it's
so
a slippery slope.
They're willing to try, and they love them.
Well, here's the thing, though. They give you blisters. They're bad for your feet because your feet will stink when you wear them. It's kind of like, have you ever worn shoes without socks?
No, the worst.
Enough times? Bad. I ran track in high school, and we used to wear our spikes really, really tight. You're supposed to wear them as tight as you can to your foot. You buy them like a size too small, so your foot really squeezes in there, and you don't wear socks with them.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you what, my gym bag smelled so bad in high school. Horrible. But that's why these things stink.
Yeah.
They're not that durable. They're not good for physical activity, and they can actually have a damaging impact on your feet. They're not good for your arches. They're not good. I had plantar fasciitis last year. Year and a half ago, maybe, for about 9 months. Let me tell you, not something you want to experience.
Yeah.
It is horribly painful. I had to get shots in the arch of my foot to be able to walk normally. So not only are these things ugly, I'm doubling down. They're ugly and they're bad for you. Don't get them. I might try a pair, though.
Yeah.
There was that one pair that had the fur on them that my brother-in-law sent me a picture of yesterday while he was listening on the air. Not that bad. There's also a rainbow pair I was kind of looking at.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm doing it.
You
want to
do it. You want to get them.
I'm trying so
hard. I'm not going to do it. I've decided I'm not going to.
Would you wear them if I wore them?
No. No, I don't want to wear them.
You're such a follower, though, normally.
I'm never a follower. And I rebuke you.
Can we get
and Crocs.
Can we get Natalia a pair just to mess with your sister-in-law? Can we do that? Can we send her a pair?
I mean, Tal would wear them.
You can get little charms that you can plug into them too. Those
holes. Natalia would love them.
Yeah,
Natalia would love them. Shreya, my sister-in-law,
is going to have to get on board.
Would get so upset. Okay, let's do it.
I told you you're a follower. It took me 22 seconds to convince you.
First of all, we're not ever calling me a follower.
Uh-oh.
Ever on air.
You're a leader.
1,000,000%.
Yeah.
And I'm a leader because I'm not going to wear those ugly Crocs, no matter how comfortable they are.
Wait. Do you follow me on Instagram?
No.
You're lying now. So you're not a follower, but you're a liar.
I blocked you after that comment, actually. So no, now I don't follow you at all.
Fair enough. Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Our next What's Poppin' involves somebody who was just on our show not too long ago and one of my favorite dancers.
Zaddy.
From Dancing with the Stars. It's What's Poppin' brought to you by California Psychics. In about 30 seconds from right now, Michaela is going to give you those details. First, I'm going to give you some other details that you need to know about. Our show is also a podcast. So, if you can't listen to us in real time, your schedule's changing, don't worry. Download the radio.com app right now and listen to us as a podcast on your mobile device at your leisure. Now, Michaela, Brian Austin Green, love him. Just on our show. He's in the news. What's going on?
So here's the tea. We know Brian Austin Green was married to Megan Fox, who is such a fox. For a couple of years, they had three boys. Before that, he was married to Vanessa Marcel, who's also stunning. I watched her on General Hospital with Vivian Cavaricci my entire life. But he's now dating Sharna Burgess.
Yeah, Burgess.
From Dancing with the Stars, who's also beautiful. Now, Brian Austin Green was linked to, I'll never forget this. Okay, this is like tea. So, do you remember when he was spotted kissing Tina Louise? Tina Louise is like an influencer, but Tina Louise also is very, very skinny and has these huge fake boobs.
Wait, is she related to Anna Louise? Isn't that the girl we talked about
earlier
this morning?
No, they're not related at all.
Got it.
But it's Ava Louise.
Ava Louise, my bad.
She walks down the street. She walks down my street every day with her little dog and no bra. And, like, just prances around. And she's kind of become, like, a person of our neighborhood. And people just know she's going to go out there with no bra, and it's, like, a whole thing.
Is she the person who puts out the fancy furniture and you take it for your living room?
Oh, that's my entire neighborhood. I take furniture from my Beverly Hills neighborhood all the time.
You have fancy neighbors.
Yeah, you know I love trash. Okay, so they're not together anymore. Sharna Burgess and Brian Austin Green are together now, and they made it Instagram official with a simple photo of them kissing and the caption being him. And people are very excited. Peter Murgatroyd put, there they are. Love you guys. Jenna Johnson, the XDWTS pro, said, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I have no words. And it's so exciting. People are really happy for them. I'm happy for them.
Well, it's really interesting because he's 47. She's 35. So you're about to be 33 tomorrow.
Yeah.
You grew up knowing about Beverly Hills 90210.
1,000%. I was a big fan.
Because I know my generation definitely did. But I wonder if she was a big fan growing up or not.
Yeah.
She's also not American, correct? She was raised.
Is she from Australia?
I feel like she's Australian. I've interviewed her. She's super sweet. She has a very thick accent. And
I think it's Australian, actually.
Yeah.
She's beautiful, though. Well, I think that's great because I know that it was very publicized that Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox were madly in love. And, I mean, honestly, we're like, we are each other's dream. We're so in love. And that had to hurt Brian Austin Green a little bit. He didn't really talk about it much, but he seems to be happy, and that's great.
He's got four kids. I wonder if they've met her yet.
Four boys.
Yeah.
I bet they did. I bet you they met. She wouldn't make an Instagram official if she hadn't met the whole clan.
You think?
Yeah,
I
think so.
It's probably a good call.
Yeah, it's a big deal. All right, well, this is What's Poppin' was brought to you by California Psychics. I love California Psychics. They have 400 psychic advisors available to you 24/7. When I lost my grandma, they played a huge part in being able to communicate with my grandma for me. And I know that a lot of people have a lot of questions right now as we head into 2021. So go to CaliforniaPsychics.com or download the app for free. If it's not the best reading you've ever had, it is free. Now, coming up, we love Palm Springs. I miss Palm Springs. And that's why we have the mayor, Christy Halsted, joining us to talk about how it's going in Palm Springs and also her take on the gays over COVID. All those gays in PV right now, we discuss coming up next.
This is a reckless impeachment. This will only bring up the hate and fire more than ever before. Have a conscience. Put the people before politics.
Gentleman's time's expired.
Unify
gentleman from Oklahoma.
Jason Peters of Missouri is
okay.
Sassy.
But
Republican,
also,
come on.
He fully pulled a me. He said, couldn't get the word, and then got the word, but said he said cautious. Have a cautious. Couldn't even get conscience out.
Listen, this Republican argument that this impeachment is only going to further divide, but we've crossed that line so long ago. Like, if this is not something, if you can't impeach a sitting president for inciting a riot and a hostile takeover of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., there's nothing on the planet you could impeach a president for then.
It's true.
So I don't care if he has 7 days or 7 weeks or 7 months or 7 minutes left. You do what's right by the American people.
And also, I just was on Instagram, and this is our sad reality. There are, in the White House, there are photos of our soldiers in their fatigues sleeping in Capitol Hill with their guns armed because they have to protect the American people from the American people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what happened. And I don't care. You know, there's a lot of rumors that that people are saying if Trump gets kicked out before Inauguration Day, there's going to be armed riots. There's going to be armed protests.
That's happening already.
It's already happening.
They think this thing was stolen.
Yeah.
And he lost in a big way. He lost bigly.
Yeah, bigly.
Ugh. The wildest thing is the amount of disrespect put on Joe Biden, who up to this point, think about this, until he ran against Donald Trump, he was well-respected across the board. Republicans, Democrats, independents, people liked him. He's one of the most likable vice presidents we've ever had.
Yeah.
People had no problems with him until Donald Trump said he's problematic. And then his followers, like a cult, get on board and death to Joe Biden.
Totally.
It's just, listen, I love Hillary Clinton all day. I'm a huge supporter. I can get why people feel a certain way about her. I get that. Joe Biden? He's like the nicest guy in America.
He broke his leg playing with, broke his foot playing with his dog.
With his dog. Sprained it, to be clear. But Lindsey Graham previously said he is the best American, the most honest, kind man he's ever met in his life. This is Lindsey Graham, yeah, Trump's biggest supporter.
Totally.
It just shows you how divided we are right now and how absurd so much of this all is.
It's real.
But here we are. We're keeping an eye on what's going down right now in Washington, D.C. They're voting on articles of impeachment right now. It's a procedural vote first. Democrats, 217 Democrats have voted so far. 203 Republicans have voted. Strict party lines. Nobody has wavered just yet. I mean, this is, it's so typical of 2020 politics in America, 2021 of politics in America. But what else is going on in news on the beat? Is there anything else happening,
well,
Michaela?
Well, we cannot forget that we are still very much in a global pandemic. Officials have opened more than 170 subject files and charged over 70 cases in their expansive investigation into the Capitol riot. According to yesterday's stunning Justice Department news conference, now the acting U.S. attorney in Washington said the scope of the crime is mind-blowing and could include charges of sedition and conspiracy, serious crimes that could result in up to 20 years in prison. Now, other officials described rioters engaging in open-handed combat with police officers and confirmed there were pipe bombs planted outside Republican and Democratic headquarters. New threats of terrorism are also rolling in ahead of Joe Biden's inauguration, including a plot described by a member of Congress in which thousands of armed extremists would surround the Capitol and prevent Democrats from entering. Meanwhile, YouTube has suspended President Trump's channel, the latest social media company to discipline the president for a post it said had incited violence. Now, we are talking with the mayor, I'm very excited about this, of Palm Springs, and she had some big news about some of the flights even that are going into Palm Springs now that are available.
Yeah, some bright spots coming out of the Coachella Valley. You know what, this stuff about social media now finally, you know, kind of taking charge and stripping rights away from Donald Trump. It's interesting to me that they didn't do it 5 or 6 years ago when he was a birther, when he was calling President Barack Obama for so many years non-American,
oh,
and spreading,
yeah,
all these lies and conspiracy theories. Where were they then? They helped get us here.
Totally.
So there needs to be accountability. There needs to be an investigation across the board of all of the things that went wrong to get our country to where we are today.
It's true. All right, well, let's get into a little weather. It's going to be 43 in Kansas City, 73 in Miami, 55 in San Francisco, and 50 in Phoenix. Now give us a vibe of the day.
My dear friend, clear your mind of can't. Get that word out of your vocabulary.
Love it. You can, and you will. Now coming up, I'm excited because although you can't go to Palm Springs, at some point you will, and we'll be joined with the mayor of Palm Springs coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Thanks for listening. As always, we're super excited about our next guest. She is the current mayor of Palm Springs. Shout out to all of our listeners on 103.1 FM in the Palm Springs, Coachella Valley area. Joining us now is Mayor Christy Holstich. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you. But before we really, really dive in, we just want to know, how are things in Palm Springs currently?
You know, Palm Springs, we're getting through this pandemic, so we've been focused on, you know, making sure that everyone's wearing masks and enforcing as much as possible, really so that we can keep our residents safe and have a bright future in a few months when we can reopen.
Yeah, you know, it's so tough because Palm Springs is a getaway for so many, even just here in L.A., and we can't go there. We're missing our community. But also, Dinah Shore, that's where I go every year for the biggest lesbian party. Well, also, so Coachella.
Festival season right around the corner.
Is there any possibility that that's going to happen this year?
You know, we're not planning events this spring of this year. We're hoping that those events will be rescheduled to the fall of this year. So hopefully have a Dinah Shore, but just a few months after we normally have it.
Yeah, it's just it is a little bit too close. Now, if I understand correctly, you are part of the community. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm actually the first and only openly bi mayor in the country. I was shocked to learn when I got elected.
Oh, wow. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, in Palm Springs.
Way to go, Palm Springs.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about this a lot over the break, over the holiday break. This Instagram account, Gaze Over COVID, went wild. It became viral, and it really sort of, many were joking to some degree. There's some truth to this, but it started almost like a gay civil war on social media.
It's true.
So many gays traveling to places like Puerto Vallarta and down to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, because places like Palm Springs are being responsible right now. What do you say to those traveling abroad and then, you know, potentially bringing, you know, COVID-19 back home? What sort of message would you have for people who are just maybe just over it right now and they want to go live their best lives, but they just can't? What do you have to say to those people?
You know, we're all over it. It's difficult times right now, but I'm getting dozens and dozens of emails from residents in Palm Springs who are really concerned about this behavior and, you know, are saying it's unacceptable to be violating the state's travel orders and travel ban and traveling to these places and then coming back to our community. You know, in Palm Springs, we have an older population. We have a huge LGBTQ population. A lot of those people lived through the height of the HIV pandemic and are sort of re-traumatized by this pandemic now. And so, you know, our ask is please stay home, stay safe. You know, you can save your neighbors' lives by just staying at home for a few more months. And then we can all party at Dinah Shore this fall.
Yes,
I know. Such great advice.
It's great advice. And we appreciate you so much calling in. And we appreciate our listeners in Palm Springs.
Yeah, we do. What are you looking forward to most when things do reopen, though?
You know, Palm Springs is going to be booming when we reopen. I know it's already, you know, we've been trying to manage because it's such a hot destination, even in the pandemic. We've added Southwest Airlines to our airport and tons of
That's amazing. That's so cool because that wasn't a thing before. Yeah.
No, I'm really excited about it. You know, a ton of new flights, a ton of new travelers. People are still flocking here and spending months and months to shelter in place because it's safe here, compared to L.A. So, you know, Palm Springs is going to be hotter than ever, and we welcome and invite everyone to come visit us once everyone's vaccinated and it'll be safe.
Well, we also want to encourage our listeners to make sure that they're supporting the smaller businesses. As we know, it's been very difficult for those businesses in COVID. How are the hospitals doing?
You know, we have 0% ICU capacity, like so many places in the state. So we are trying to increase that and decrease our numbers. So, you know, it doesn't look good. We're hoping to be like regions like Sacramento, which just lifted, you know, because they have more ICU capacity. So we're working on it.
Well, listen, we're right there with you. Anything we can ever do to help, thank you so much for calling in. We hope to talk to you again soon. I'm sure it's not the way you thought you'd become a mayor of a place like Palm Springs, but it sounds like they're in good hands right now. So thank you for all you're doing, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Now, coming up, it's going to our producer, Justin. Is he the jerk? And is Lauren right? We're talking about a little marital squabble. What is it? Fight you guys had?
Squabble.
I was going to say squatter.
They're also not married. All right, so dealing with neighbors can be just such a headache. It doesn't matter if you live in a nice gated residential community or if you live in an apartment complex or a condo. Shared spaces, whether it's that line that divides your lawn from theirs, your mailbox is next to theirs on the street, or it's a common area that you share, maybe in an apartment complex. I live in a large tower, and we have trash chutes everywhere, so we just drop our trash out. Excuse me. But if you have larger stuff, you actually have to take it down into the basement, into these dumpsters, and put it in there. Well, last night we go down there because we were washing some bedding that we used for our puppy because he soiled it. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But we were down there, and our neighbors apparently were moving out, one of our neighbors, and they just put all their kids' trash outside of the dumpster on the ground.
And not in the trash.
Like furniture. There was like homework assignments, markers and crayons, toys laying everywhere, not even in the dumpster.
Well, I'll tell you, where we live, it's, you know, they're like four little houses on one piece of land. And so we have like these rules that like if you go put out boxes, you have to break them down before you put them in recycling.
Oh, you got busted one time by one of your neighbors.
Yeah, I got in trouble. Uh-huh. They made the rules because of me. They were like, you can't just go put boxes in the trash. But it's a big deal. You got to be courteous.
Well, apparently, maybe Justin's neighbors need to make rules as well, because our producer over the holiday break did something with your neighbor's trash can that your fiance Lauren thinks makes you a jerk.
Well, yeah, she thinks I'm a jerk. I think I'm pretty efficient. So let me tell you what happened. So we hosted Christmas. It was just our immediate family, our parents, and we had an excess amount of trash. We got a lot of gifts for our son Bennett.
Pretty common, wrapping paper, boxes, absolutely. Things like that. Sure.
Our community rules say that you are supposed to put your trash cans out the morning of and take them back in the night of.
Oh, so, you can't put them out the night before?
Put them out the night before. That's fine, but you can't have them out there all week long.
Got it.
Some people have them out there all week long. And if they don't fill them and we had an overfill, well, I mean, if some of my trash just happened to end up in their trash can, I think I'm being pretty efficient.
So okay, paint a picture. We're talking about here in California, I know we have the black ones, the green ones, and the blue ones. The blue is for recycling. I think black is just trash.
Regular trash.
And green is for like yard
compost,
waste. Yeah. So you put your trash in which color one?
The appropriate ones. The trash
so
and the trash,
right.
The recyclable and the recyclable.
Okay, so you still
but
did.
But it's their trash cans.
But it wasn't full.
Exactly.
I think it's fine.
Okay,
Thank you. So
Lauren thinks you're a jerk?
Yeah.
Why?
Really, why?
Because dumping is apparently a crime.
Wait, it is?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Wait, no.
Dumping is.
But the thing is, it's not dumping. I'm putting it in their trash can.
Yeah, you weren't.
And it's
going to
be picked up. I'm not taking away their space because, hey, they already had the space to use, so why
what
not?
Would she have done? Would she have just put the excess trash outside of your trash cans?
No, she wanted us to hold on to the trash for another week.
Wait, what?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
That makes no sense, Lauren.
Because we had no room
in
the trash.
Wait, Lauren is an attorney.
Yeah, so
Lauren did not want to do that.
Does she know something we don't know?
Well, it is a crime.
It is?
What I'm doing is
really
a crime, dumping in other people's trash cans.
It is?
Yeah. Okay, so, but then, okay, one, I did not know that, but two, so then she wanted to hold on. I know.
Oops.
Okay, well, I don't think anyone's going to arrest
you. People stormed the Capitol last week, and they're still at home with their
and
families.
And they're still Instagram living it, so we're okay. But so she wanted to hold on to the trash. Where, in your garage?
Mm-hmm.
What if you had a busy trash week the next week and you couldn't put in your own trash again?
We always have a busy trash
really?
Week.
Really?
So that's kind of what
so
I do.
So you
hold on to your trash?
No.
You don't because you're a dumper.
I am. If you choose to use those words, I will.
What did your parents do? Did your parents, were they dumpers?
No, where we lived in our community when I was growing up, we had multiple trash cans.
So
and
did
we. Just bought another trash can.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
exactly.
I never had that much trash.
Well, that's interesting because I will tell you, when I used to go to the gym, when we used to have gyms here in Southern California, I used to walk home. It was about a half a mile to a mile walk. And on my way home, my protein shake or whatever bottled water I would have, once I would finish it, I would walk by a random trash receptacle in front of somebody's home and just throw it in there. I thought I was doing something good.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't know
I was
that at all.
Breaking the law.
Okay, what'd Lauren say?
Oh, no, she hasn't said anything.
Oh, I thought she just texted you.
What I want to do is, and it's up to you guys if that's okay.
I think we should put this on Instagram.
Exactly. Let's
put
it on
let's
our
take
IG.
It to the.
Because here's the thing,
take
Justin.
Take it to the gram.
Here's the thing. Generally speaking, yeah, you can be kind of a jerk sometimes. It's okay. You're the most lovable kind of jerk there is. I can also be a jerk, so I can relate to that. However, in this one instance, I'm going to side with you. I think Lauren's crazy.
Thank you.
I don't care if it's legal or
illegal. Yeah, I do. Listen, Lauren, I always tag team. I always love Lauren. I'm always here for her.
Yeah.
I think it's wrong, too. I would never hold on to my trash.
I feel like social media will have your back on this.
I think so, too. You're going to get this right.
So if you want to get in on this, do you think that Justin's a jerk? Is it right for him to throw his trash in the neighbor's trash receptacle? This is the hard-hitting news we're covering in 2021.
Listen, there's a lot of hard-hitting news we could be hitting, but we're terrified, so we're just keeping it.
Yeah, we needed a break from Washington.
Listen, the presidency has been trash. Yeah. We're just talking about our personal.
But is Justin, head over to WeAreChannelQ.com, or no, head over to our WeAreChannelQ Instagram right now. Take the poll. We'll give you the results tomorrow live on the air. People are just holding their breath waiting for these results.
Yes.
I know they're going to.
All right, well, coming up, finishing off the day, it's Tell Me Something Good. Combat vets in Congress stepped up to protect others during the Capitol riot. Find out how they did and Tell Me Something Good coming up next.
Tell me something good.
You know what? We're going to do just that because we like to wrap up every single day, every single show with some love and positivity. So here are some stories to send you off to end your day with just that in your heart. So let's talk about these vets. They're still serving our country even after they left the military. Vets gather to pick up trash left by Capitol rioters. So now, when Navy veteran David Smith saw the aftermath of last Wednesday's riots at the Capitol, he told a reporter for WUSA Today, or USA TV, I'm sorry, "It almost brings you to tears. It's terrible." So he did more than just talk the talk, though. Veterans from the group he founded continued to serve, picked up racist stickers and other trash left behind by those who came and left on Wednesday, and worked to clean up Black Lives Matter murals.
"Almost brings you to tears. It's terrible. They're yelling, 'I served,' and as if somehow that gives them impunity and they can just, like, storm the Capitol, which is not right, to support and defend the Constitution. That's what we're supposed to do."
I appreciate that perspective because somewhere along the lines, this idea that Republican Party, they're the ones that have the right to call themselves patriots. They own the American flag. They own religion. They own family values. And if Donald Trump's presidency has shown us anything, that those things could not be further from the truth. No one party holds those things. And to see this group of veterans get out there and publicly speak on that, I think is really important and really special.
Yeah, well, I mean, to your point, a lot of the people in Congress were also combat vets.
Yes.
And they protected
in both parties,
other congressmen.
Yep.
And women the day that the Capitol Hill was stormed. And that's incredible. I mean, the Representative Ruben Gallego and Representative Jason Crow were two of the congressmen that stepped up and took care. And it's really sad. I said this earlier, but we're in a place now where Capitol Hill, you see troops sleeping on the floor. There's hundreds of them there to protect Capitol Hill. And they're protecting Capitol Hill. They're protecting American people from American people.
That's the saddest part of it all.
That's crazy because, you know, big time talking, Trump made a lot of people mad in other countries, and they've been saying, like, you know, we don't want anyone to incite war, but this would be the time to do it. I mean, we're literally fighting ourselves. We look so vulnerable.
We're so
right
vulnerable
now
to the rest of the world. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just awful.
And those are true patriots who are there protecting. Whether
true
they
patriots.
Whether they agree with the incoming or outgoing president or not does not matter.
Yeah.
You do not. It's sort of like the idea of, all right, I can talk about my family, but you can't.
1,000%.
Yeah.
All right. What about you, babe?
All right. So it's this one. And we're going to stay on the same exact theme. So Representative Andy Kim, he said, "It pained me so much to see it in this kind of condition." Speaking of the Capitol, and this photo has gone viral of him immediately after this went down. He's a Democrat from New Jersey. He was in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol building on his hands and knees, cleaning up trash, putting it in trash bags, because he just could not stand to see a room that he loves so much. It's the heart of the Capitol, you know, literally the heart of this country. It pained him so much to see it in that condition. So this 38-year-old on his hands and knees cleaning up before anybody else even came in to clean. I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, independent, or if you don't pay any attention to anything at all.
Right.
The rights and privileges that we enjoy as Americans are not guaranteed forever. Every single democracy has fallen at some point in time or another. Every great empire has fallen, and it usually falls from within.
Yeah.
So if we don't get our act together and figure out a way to just love each other and to believe in science and facts and truth and information again, we're doomed to the same fate.
Well,
just love each other.
I think that that's a great way to end the show. I also think that you should end the show with the vibe of the day. Get people going. If you're just tuning in, give them something to
Well, listen, I've said this vibe all day. It's very short. It's very sweet. And we can all take something from this, okay? My dear friend, I'm speaking to every single listener listening right now. My dear friend, clear your mind of can't.
Yeah.
can't doesn't exist, especially if you're an American.
Totally.
We can do anything if we want to bad enough. Put a little bit of love and compassion behind it, and things can get better.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we have a great show for you tomorrow, as always. And it's my birthday, so we'll be
again.
Celebrating.
We just did this last year.
Wear your masks. Wash your hands, AJ. Get to work and make my birthday great again. Goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.